Welcome to Your Business, Your Next Level podcast, where your host, Eunicia Perret, will unlock access to the insights you have been looking for, whether that means paying less in taxes, scaling your business, building your team, or even figuring out who shouldn't be on your team. If you are a successful business owner and you feel like getting to that next level has been a struggle, let's face it. You may have been searching for the secret to your ultimate business success in the wrong places. Now, listen up, get inspired, and let's take your business to the next level.
Welcome to another episode of Your Business, Your Next Level. Today, I have a very special guest with me, someone that frankly has seen a lot of the people that you might be looking forward to, or you might be thinking of as, oh my gosh, if I could just be in their presence. So today I have with me Ted, who's a world-renowned health coach, professional speaker, and host of The Legendary Life Podcast. Ted has over 25 years of experience helping executives, entrepreneurs, and guess what? Other highly performing professionals create a personalized path to optimizing their health and their performance. His clients, not only do they include CEOs of multi-million dollar and Fortune 500 companies, they also include successful business owners like yourselves, as well as, guess what? Celebrities. So let me list just some of the names that I'm sure Ted can talk more about. Sir Richard Branson, Ricky Martin, and Robert Downey Jr. So without further ado, Ted, I'd love for you to come on stage and share with our audience a little bit more about who you are and tell us a little bit more about your story and what changes you discovered just as you thought everything was going swelling for you.
Yeah, so thanks so much for having me here. It's an honor to be on your show, Eunicia. And thank you so much for that intro. And when you drop names like that, it gets people's attention, and that tends to be the focus. And it's great. I'm honored to have worked with all those people. Robert Downey Jr. was a lot of fun. I worked with him right before he came out with his first Iron Man movie. So it was for those of you who remember, it was a very different time in his life. I worked with him right before that first movie came out. I worked with Richard Branson once in Miami Beach, but I mostly worked with his wife. But I always joke with other entrepreneurs because so many people have been to his island and they paid to go there. I'm like, I'm probably the only person here who Richard Branson has paid. And I've worked with a bunch of other celebrities over the years. However, my story, how I got started in fitness, is a bit different. I had some family tragedies that led me into health and fitness. So I say that because I want you to know why I'm so passionate about health and fitness, and also the path I took to get here, because I wasn't the jock in high school who became the jock in college and wanted to continue being a jock and got into health and fitness because that was the natural progression. I was kind of the rebel in school. I got into trouble, skipped school. I skateboarded, partied too much. And I found my way after a family tragedy. My brother was killed, was actually murdered, my little brother. And after that, I was a bit lost. And I don't know how much drama you want me to go into, because the whole story made national news and my parents ended up meeting presidents and helping to sign laws into legislation. But my own personal path was that I wanted to be a neuroscientist or perhaps a medical doctor. And I ended up dropping out of school. And I was pretty broken up, as you might imagine, after what happened. Serendipitously, I found some people. Like, I didn't even know personal training was a thing when I was 20 years old. I had no idea that was actually, people had a career helping people to get in shape. But I happened to find myself while bouncing around, trying to put my life back together, trying to figure out what the next step was. I found myself working in Miami Beach. I was working in receiverships and bankruptcies, and I was staying in a building on Millionaire's Row, 5151 Seacoast Towers, for those of you who know that area. And it was in receivership. I was staying in the building helping to run it. And after work, I would go to the gym in the building, and I saw these men and women dressed in exercise clothes working with clients. And I'm like, what do you guys do exactly? I was there working out by myself. And I remember, I forget the guy's name, but he was an Australian. He was a former professional tennis player, and he was working with some clients there. Or maybe he was still, you know, giving tennis lessons, but he wasn't competitive anymore. And he was telling me, like, yeah, and now I train clients here in Miami Beach. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And to fast forward, I ended up getting into health and fitness. I started as a personal trainer, quickly realized that while teaching people exercises, holding them accountable so that they would show up, giving them some banter to break up their busy day, it wasn't enough. And so I ended up getting certified in health coaching, because I started to realize exercise is powerful. In fact, Eunicia, for your listeners, it's the most powerful thing that you can do for your health, for longevity. It's not diet. Everyone thinks it's diet. And if you want to write a best-selling book, it better not be on exercise. It better be on diet. However, if you're interested in actually what's evidence-based, what the research says about longevity, is having a high VO2 max, which is a measure of cardiorespiratory fitness. It's having enough leg strength so that you can even do cardiovascular exercise. It's grip strength. So the way you build leg strength, grip strength, VO2 max, it's through exercise. And you can pop all the resveratrol, that's an anti-aging supplement, or at least purported to be an anti-aging supplement. You can jump in cold plunges and do infrared saunas, but exercise is where it's at. However, there's a lot more to it. And that started me down a very different road. And here I am. Now I work with my clients on exercise, on nutrition. I look at their blood work. I look at their lifestyle. And my clients get, it's easy to get a body transformation, or I shouldn't say easy, but my clients transform their bodies, but keep it off for years. I've got clients who've worked with me 2, 3, 4 years later, they're in the same shape. And the dirty secret about body transformations is that the 12-week transformation, and maybe your clients can relate to this, most people don't keep it. They go back. And so I'm really proud of what we've done.
You know, I absolutely love what you just said, Ted. And first of all, thank you so much for being vulnerable and sharing the story of your brother and of your family. And it's really tough. And I certainly don't wish that on anyone. And you being a testimony as to what we can do to change the environment around us is so huge. And as it comes to the things that you're mentioning can be done, I love the fact that you said exercise is absolutely the best thing that you can do. But before that, you said exercises weren't enough. So while they are the best thing that you can do, they weren't enough. And I just have to take a pause here. I don't generally talk much about what we do at Excelstra, but we see that all the time. People come to us and they'll say, but I have a financial advisor and I have a CPA and I think I'm good. And the reality is that it's very much a parallel, right? Having someone that can help you is the best thing that you can do. But at the same time, it is not enough. And so I'd love to understand more from you. What are some of those myths when we're talking about, you know, exercise is not enough, but at the same time, it's the best thing. What are some of the myths that connect health and success? And how do we transcend this gamut from what is the typical what people feel either about exercise or nutrition? Because my hypothesis is that there's some sort of a bridge between the two.
Exercise and nutrition. Yeah, I mean, you're asking some great questions. So I'll start more generally. Well, here, and I'll share some myths that I used to believe. I used to believe that you had to kill yourself in the gym to change your body. And if you couldn't train intensely, that it wasn't going to happen for you. And I got injured doing that, and I wasn't able to sustain my workouts. And I got to the point where I was resigned to not be in great shape anymore, because I felt like I had to do jump squats and lift heavy weights. But that's not true. We know that heavy weights and light weights build the same amount of muscle. They don't build the same amount of strength. If you want to get stronger, or let's say maximize or optimize your strength, lift heavier weights. But if you're lifting you're doing a squat and you're doing it 5 times, which is quite a heavy weight, if you're pushing it to the limit, to that fifth rep and you can't do another one, or 30 reps, which is a lot more, you build the same amount of muscle. So that's a myth I used to believe. Another myth is that there's a special diet for fat loss and you have to be really strict about it. For example, this is, and I see this with my clients all the time, I want to be lean and healthy. So the way to do that is to never eat dessert, never drink any alcohol, never have any pizza or anything like that. And the truth is that nutrition, thankfully, is much more simple than that. It comes down to calories. And certainly the foods, a calorie is a calorie. And people get confused by this. They're like, no. A calorie of a brownie is the same as a calorie of a broccoli. It's like, yes, but how our bodies process that food is different. So it's, for example, processed food, because of the processing. Well, I'll actually start with broccoli. You take a piece of broccoli, let's say it's steamed. You put it in your mouth. You can't just swallow it. You got to chew it up. And then you swallow it down and have to digest it. That whole process is energy intensive. So you're going to get less, your body is going to be less efficient at getting calories out of a piece of broccoli versus the cookie that I ate the other day. I'll go with that instead of the brownie. I ate a cookie the other day at this amazing coffee shop, and it was warm. And it practically melted in my mouth as I ate it. It was crispy on the outside. And sorry if I'm triggering anybody, anyone's cravings. But I say that because it's already pre-digested. So our bodies can get more out of that nutrition. Out of that cookie. More calories exactly. Out of that cookie. And there's a second part to it, which is when we eat what are called hyperpalatable foods or ultra processed foods like that cookie, it stimulates a dopamine release. So it gets us hooked a little bit. And the other thing is that not only does it stimulate a dopamine spike that you will not get from broccoli, that's why everyone, you and me, even if you don't love cookies, you know there's something special about eating a cookie versus eating a piece of steamed broccoli. It
especially
hijacks your
when
brain
you're describing
a little bit, and it
especially
can cause
when
cravings.
You're describing it the way that you do.
Yeah, I was actually picturing it. So sorry about that, everyone. Sorry for triggering your cravings. So that was another myth. Those are two of probably the biggest myths. I want to share one big lesson for me too. Is there's not what, and this is another myth, there is not one diet right for everyone. There's going to be some differences based on your genetics. Some people respond to saturated fat in a way that spikes their blood lipids, and you can have problems with cholesterol or triglycerides, while another person may not have that. And we see that all the time in ketogenic diets and high fat, low carb diets. Some people do great on them. Some people don't. Has to do in part with your food choices, but even people who are eating, you know, the crazy things that keto people eat sometimes, bacon fried in butter and steak wrapped in bacon, fried in butter is some of the craziness that people eat. And it won't raise their blood lipids because they're not genetically predisposed to it. So how do we know what's right then for a person? We know through blood work. We know through testing people's blood work and perhaps genetic testing, although that's not the first place I go. I look at people's blood work first because here's the thing. People will tell me all the time, oh, I have a great diet. I eat and they'll tell me the foods that they eat. And then I'm looking at them, I'm like, you're obese. I don't even need to know your body fat percentage or your body mass index. I already know, I've been doing this for a long time, you're obese. I don't want to say there's nothing healthy about your diet, but let's say overall, you have a very unhealthy diet compared to for your body, for your metabolism, for your muscle mass, and for your activity levels. It's not healthy for you. And then you look at someone's blood work, if their lipids are off or their fasting glucose, markers of blood sugar regulation, fasting glucose, hemoglobin A1C, C-peptide, these biomarkers, again, your diet isn't healthy for you. So be data-driven. Just like we're living in a world where all business owners need to be data-driven. And the same is true with your health. You wouldn't just say, no, I'm doing pretty good in business. It's like, what are your numbers? Well, no idea, but you know, and name off a few things that are, let's say, viewed as quality or highly regarded practices. That's great. What are the numbers? And I take the same approach to health and fitness.
And yet again, as you're talking about health and fitness, I can't help but think about finances, because
sure.
You said things such
as
a lot
of parallels.
A lot of parallels. So you said food choices, and I'm thinking, you know, financial strategies. You said a risk, right? And I'm thinking it's your level of risk. What are you more? What is there more of a propensity for your body or for your mind in this case to be thinking of? And be data driven. That is so, so powerful. So it's between the blood work and the strategy. It's between the be data driven and have a comprehensive approach, right? It's not every person that you work with is not like the next person. Every patient or every client that you service and you look at their specific situation is not going to be the same story like the person that you just worked with or the person that's ahead of them. And so that's so, so powerful. Let me ask you, Ted, as you're thinking about the ideal client or as you know, if you're listening to this, for our listener who, let's say they're already successful, right? They're already successful and perhaps they're even fit, right? Let's say we're talking to the individual who feels really good about their body. What is one of the most immediate steps that you feel they could take towards maybe upping their level of healthiness when it comes to having a more rewarding life, when it comes to feeling better, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, great question. So there's a few things that I would look at, and it really depends on the person, but I'm going to do my best to cast a wide net. There's a few things. So you're saying the person's already fit. And what I take that to mean is that let's say they're not obese, maybe overweight, maybe normal weight, probably don't know what their body fat is, probably don't know what their VO2 max is. Hopefully they've gone to the doctor, although I know so many business owners and high-performing professionals that are quite behind because it takes time to go to the doctor and have your blood taken. That's why we arrange things for our clients to make it easier. We have even a service sometimes that we use if someone's that busy to go to someone's house and take their blood for them. So where I'm going with this is do an assessment, because you're saying a fit person, but what is fitness? And the great thing is just like there's some objectivity in, you know, let's say the numbers in business, and there's also some nuance, right? For example, if you're in the red we're in the black. It's a black, you know, it's a yes or no situation versus, oh, we're making a lot of money. Well, a lot of money might be $1 million a year, or it might be $100 million a year, right? Depending on the person. So the good thing is we have some quantitative objective metrics. As an example, we know where your fasting glucose should be. It should be under 90. We know where your hemoglobin A1C should be. Again, those are markers of let's say metabolic function or insulin resistance. It should be 5.3, 5.2, let's say under 5.5. We know that your body fat, let's say if you're a man, it should be under 20%. If you're a woman, it should be under 25%. What about VO2 max, which is a measure of cardiorespiratory fitness? That, let's say it's a little bit more tricky to be objective about it because it takes a long time to build a high VO2 max. But, you know, 50 is a good thing to shoot for, a good number to shoot for. And most people aren't doing well. When I have them tested, they're 30s, 40s, right? So get an assessment done. If you want to work with me, we can talk about that. But work with someone. Get an assessment done. And don't, look, I love doctors. I don't have anything bad to say about the profession in general. So what I'm about to say is going to sound like I'm attacking them, but I'm not. If I get my arm broken, or if I get an infection, or if I need surgery, you better believe I'm going to a doctor, mainstream medicine doctor. Please take care of me. I don't know anything about it, Eunicia. However, if you go to your doctor and you're overweight and you have high blood pressure and your lipids aren't ideal, you can have, let's say, markers in the normal range, but that's kind of like saying, hey, yeah, you passed the class. I mean, you were a D student, but you passed. And so doctors don't have the time to generally, right? Maybe if you have concierge, I've worked with clients with concierge doctors. They're still more on the, let's say, treating pathology. And again, I'm not a doctor, not pretending to be one. I'm trying to keep you out of the doctor's office. So what I do is very preventative. I'm looking at optimal because I'll give you an example. One of the things that's very high these days, because alcohol consumption's been up, especially after COVID, alcohol consumption has been up since COVID, and some people reined it back in, some people didn't. Even years later, some people gained a lot of weight during that time too. So one of the things that's up in general and then got exacerbated by the pandemic is fatty liver. So we used to think that only alcoholics got fatty liver, but now the term is non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And so I'm going to tie this into performance and running your business in a second, because this is a perfect example. You can get fatty liver, build up of fatty liver, and it won't show. It'll show in your liver enzymes might be high normal, but they're still normal, but they're high normal. And you're heading in the wrong direction. And there's a couple other things that you can do to see, like, is someone suffering from fatty liver? And why I bring up fatty liver in particular, besides the fact that it's super common these days, especially, again, you don't have to be an alcoholic. If you're eating too many calories, eating a bad diet, if you're, you know, drinking somewhat frequently, even though you're not an alcoholic, it's under control, but still you're drinking and enjoying yourself, you can have this. And what we know is that people with fatty liver have higher rates of clinical depression, clinical anxiety, and also subclinical depression and subclinical anxiety. And the thing about this, and I've worked with clients with this, right, with signs of fatty liver or even diagnosed fatty liver. You can't go to the psychologist and do therapy if the root cause of your problem is this dysfunction. So I've met people, or met clients rather, work with clients, and they felt bad and they felt like something was wrong with them. And there is something wrong with them. But psychologically, and we all have some, you know what, I'm not a psychologist. Maybe you've got some stuff that you need to have, you know, talk about or whatever. I'm not the one to say that, but I'll tell you this. It's amazing how people change their, how their mood changes when they start to get rid of the visceral fat and they start improving their energy levels. They start improving their VO2 max. All of a sudden, you don't feel as anxious anymore. All of a sudden, you're not so depressed anymore. So that's an example, because if you're making money these days, you're using your brain. You're using your brain to make money. Our brains are an organ. Go for it, because I'll keep talking.
Listen, this is absolutely amazing, Ted, because you said something about the psychologist and the therapy. It will not address the root cause and the dysfunction in your liver.
Yeah.
And in our world, I equate that all the time to saying, listen, wouldn't it be nice if your psychologist or psychiatrist actually spoke with your internal medicine physician? Unfortunately, it doesn't happen. Just
exactly.
Like it doesn't happen on the business side, it doesn't happen on the financial side. And you said something else. Get an assessment done and quantitative objective metrics. Just earlier today, I was talking with my team and we are looking at a couple of case studies of one of our existing clients and how a specific strategy was designed. And the same type of strategy that came in with a new client from a prior world. And when we looked at the numbers side by side, the same dollar, instead of it multiplying X number of times, it was multiplying almost two times more. And so a lot of individuals will say, but I'm getting the help. And what I'm trying to impart, just like you said earlier, is the help may not necessarily be bad, but it's not comprehensive. So you want to make sure that, especially when it comes to your health and sometimes even your finances, you need that comprehensive support, because otherwise you're leaving something to chance. And definitely, we don't want to do that when it comes to your health.
Yeah, it's such a fantastic point. And it reminds me of Tim Ferriss talking about Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger and talking about how they studied cognitive biases in investing, because the issue is, like, when I heard you talk about the person just now, talking about the person who's working with someone and they feel it gives them a sense of security and it gives them a sense of like, oh, I really like this person. I feel taken care of by this person, which is fantastic. And that's important. But also, are you getting results that are backed up by data? In other words, you have the numbers showing that there's an improvement, because the way we feel is not always real. It's not representative of reality. And it's really tough sometimes with this brain of ours, we have our prefrontal cortex. That's the number side. That's the, I'm Unicia and I'm the, you know, my business is Excelstra and I'm the CEO and founder and I'm Ted Rice and I'm this health coach. And so we have that part of ourselves. And then we have what's called the limbic system, the emotional system. It's the system that let's say that, you know, you shouldn't reach for the glass of wine or the cookie that, you know, I ate the other day, but you were feeling a bit stressed and you wanted to reward yourself. Right. So that's what you do. And also, to use the example we're talking about, you end up liking a person. You're like, no, I like them. It's great to like a person. And I do believe it's important, because who wants to deal with someone who's helping you manage your financial life in a comprehensive way and they're doing an excellent data-driven job, but they're terrible to be around. So it's important. However, there's no reason why you can't have it all.
There's no, so and
check
there's
your
no
biases,
reason why.
Use the numbers.
100%. And also at the same time, there's no reason why sometimes you can't work with multiple experts that should be there for ultimately your success. Mm. So the question for you as you're listening today is, whether it's health, whether it's money, whether it's something else in your life, are you okay if somebody delivered, maybe not you, this question is not directed towards, do you want to work hard for an A or a D? Let's take the onus off of you and put it on your teams. Are you okay if your team, if the individuals that you're working with, we're talking about health and wellness and physical abilities. So let's focus there. Are you happy if the individuals that you're working with are delivering a D, or would you much rather prefer to get an A out of the work that you're putting forth? So again, taking it off of you, let's figure out how we can get your experts to work together on your behalf when it comes to elevating your game to the next level. So with that, Ted, I'd like to get into a question that I know our listener is definitely, you know, they want to know. I'm sure they probably do want to know. I want to know. How do celebrities and differ from successful executives, from business owners, and maybe even everybody else? Is there something that actually differentiates them, or are they just human beings like the rest of us?
So yes and yes. They're just human beings just like the rest of us. I've hung out with a bunch of them, and they all have the same, you know, people are different no matter who they are, but they all have the same challenges. They all have, you know, obviously highly successful people are different in general, but they're just people, right? However, what I think is different and why you got to be careful comparing yourself, and I'll use Ricky Martin and Robert Downey Jr. as the example here. Ricky had to get in shape for a tour. It's his job to be in shape. And Robert Downey Jr. had to be in shape for Iron Man. Nobody wants an out-of-shape superhero. That is not what's in vogue, right? Even going back 18 years now, when that all started, because he kicked off the whole Marvel, that whole phase one Marvel, all those movies. So, and the same goes with health coaches like me. I'm incentivized to be in shape because nobody wants an out of shape health coach. Keep that in mind, because most of my clients, their work doesn't incentivize them to be in shape directly. In other words, you can make the argument it's going to be better when they're meeting people in person. They're going to have more energy, more confidence. They're going to feel better about what they see in the mirror. But it's not as direct as, say, for me, or certainly as I've got more in common with the listeners, right, than I do with Robert Downey Jr. Or it's literally their job to be in shape. So keep that in mind. And they have to make time for it, versus you can get away running a business. And if you're very smart and you have a lot of skill, you may not feel the detriment. For example, if I have a bad night of sleep, I can get on and I can coach clients. I can do interviews. I can give interviews. It's not probably going to be my best. And if it goes on long enough, if I'm sleep deprived long enough, it's going to take a toll on my performance. But what I'm getting at here is you feel like you can get away with being out of shape and watching your belly grow and putting away more wine and skipping more workouts. You can get away with it for a little while. It's different for each person how much they can get away with. But eventually it's going to take a toll on you. So I think one more point that I think is really important based on your question is that society, the big issue, and I think this is really important. So if you're hard on yourself, because, you know, I have a strong message. I know I come across kind of strong, but I want to let you know, I've worked with a lot of high performers and they're very hard on themselves, especially about their health and fitness and the way they look. And And some people have even told me, because I've struggled to lose weight and keep it off or to maintain an exercise routine, it makes me question my success in other areas. I never worked with Oprah. Unfortunately, that would be a great client. But she is one of the most successful people in the world. I believe the most successful woman in the world. And even she was struggling with her weight and the psychological stuff that came with it. And so where I'm going with this is the big issue is the way our society is set up in the United States in particular. We're surrounded by cheap, delicious food or expensive, delicious food, depending on, you know, where you dine at. We hardly ever move. The average American gets 5,000 steps or less per day, which is qualified as sedentary. And sedentary equals higher inflammation in your body, issues with metabolic issues. So our society is kind of setting us up to fail. Again, it's not society's fault. It's our responsibility for making a difference, especially if you're a high performer. If you're someone living in the worst part of town and, you know, you don't have a good education, that's something different, but nobody here is like that, right? So it's our responsibility.
So I will say this, Ted, 100%, you're so right. And here's something that you said that's so critical that I want our listener to hear. You said, if you're hard on yourself, you didn't say the word need to stop. I'm going to fill that in for you. And the reason I do that is because I tell our new clients, when they come on board, they come to us and they feel bad. And sometimes they feel embarrassed when they shouldn't be, right? Wealth and health is relative. Mm. And your message was that everybody struggles and that the way that you go about it is you have to have a plan that's right for you. Just because somebody that's of your stature or your age or your descent looks and maybe acts better and seems healthier than you do doesn't mean that that's the reality, nor does it mean that your reality is one where you're in a worse shape. It's just the way that things are for you. And because of that, you require your own strategic approach when it comes to designing how your life should be going forward, right? And I can't think of anybody better, Ted, than somebody like you to guide that individual, right? When they're thinking about what will next look like. I've been working out, I've been, you know, meal planning, I've been doing all of this amazing stuff that we think is good. So as the individual listening today is thinking about, oh my gosh, I've got some work to do, where can our listener find you? Where can our listeners find you so that maybe they get some clarity in their life and with their health?
Yeah, for sure. So thanks so much. The best place to go is to legendarylifepodcast.com. That's my website. On my website, you can find my masterclass, which if you're interested in, hey, Ted, this was all great. I want to know exactly what to do. I want to know what to do. And where can I find that? Go to my masterclass. That's at legendarylifepodcast.com/masterclass. And if you just want to book a call with me directly, it's legendarylifepodcast.com/call. So legendarylifepodcast.com/masterclass. If you want to hear more about my strategies in a more, let's say, organized, streamlined, step-by-step fashion, that's where you'd find that. And legendarylifepodcast.com/call is where you go to book a call.
I love that, Ted. Thank you so much for sharing that. It's very easy, obviously, to just go ahead and follow up that website. I have one final question for you. And I love to ask this question because I never know what I hear and our listeners are loving it. What is your favorite book? If, as the question comes up, what is the number one book that comes to mind right now? Not maybe yesterday, because sometimes those change. What would you say your favorite book is?
Okay. I don't have a favorite book, but I'll give you two. One, War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. That's not The Art of War by Sun Tzu, The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield, which is he talks about the resistance to change that we all have. And I bring that book up because I'd never wanted to learn business stuff. I wanted to be the best coach possible. So it made sense that I studied only coaching, information, nutrition, all the things that I consider myself an expert in. But I knew I needed to make that change, and that book helped me. Then the second book I'd say is, gosh, so many, The Art of Impossible by Stephen Kotler. And he talks about high performance and has a great, let's say, way he approaches it. So if you're looking to level up in your performance and you want to be a high performer, I love his information. And he talks a lot about how health is a big part of it.
So there you have it. We've got two amazing potential resources if you want to change your resistance perspective and to talk about The Art of Impossible that merges, sounds like, the personal and the health. Those are two amazing books. Ted, thank you so much for being here with us today. I personally had a great time just really learning. I took a lot of notes. I'm hoping that our listener did the same. And who knows, maybe we can have a 2.0 thinking and diving more into the details. So if you're listening to this episode and you have further questions and you would like to ask Ted some of those questions, clearly you can go and get the mastermind, or better yet, you can send us a note and we will make sure that we do schedule a 2.0 with Ted. Until next time, Ted, thank you once again for being here with us. Make sure that you follow, you subscribe, and you share. And give us your comments. Let us know how you like this episode. And I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Your Business, Your Next Level.
Are you truly ready to elevate your business to unprecedented heights and keep more of what you earn? Before you move on to your next challenge, consider what you could lose if you hesitate. Immediate action. Step up by visiting excelstra.com. That's excelstra.com now to connect with Eunicia and her expert team. It's your gateway to discovering innovative strategies that help you keep more of your hard-earned profits. Stay informed. Don't just listen, subscribe. Make sure you're consistently equipped with the latest strategic insights that directly impact your bottom line. Your Business, Your Next Level is your essential resource for your ongoing business success and profitability. Act today to secure a future where you keep more of every dollar earned. Your business doesn't wait, and neither should you.